The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused, and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Forgiveness is contrary to our nature. It's unnatural for us. We don't like to do it. If we have to be forgiven for something, we usually only want the forgiveness part from them without offering any kind of true repentance or change of our actions. And if we are the ones forgiving someone who doesn't want to change their sinful behavior, then it can be really frustrating. For example, I leave my clothes on the floor, not sorting them in the hamper like I should. Rachel rightfully calls me out on it. Begrudgingly, I pick up my clothes and do what I should have done in the first place. I go to Rachel and apologize. She forgives me. And do you think that I do better next time? Nope! My actions didn't really change. Perhaps, maybe I never really intended to change them. Even if I did, my clothes still end up on the floor and not in the laundry basket. And the cycle of repentance with Rachel starts all over again. And she's patient and loving, so of course she forgives me. But even after years of this cycle, it can turn into me taking advantage of Rachel's forgiveness. This situation is a bit frivolous and silly, but you get the point. That's the kind of thing Peter in the gospel lesson wanted to avoid. He wanted to avoid a cyclical pattern of forgiving someone. It's against his nature. He doesn't want his graciousness and forgiveness to be taken advantage of. Who does? So Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus replied to Peter, demonstrates how far off Peter's understanding of forgiveness truly was. Jesus said, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. But the correct answer isn't that you should forgive your brother 490 times, just do the math, and then stop forgiving them. Rather, the point is that forgiveness is limitless. You should always forgive your brother, says Jesus. Not only is Jesus describing how you should be towards each other, but God is describing how He is towards you. Jesus teaches that we are to forgive each other frequently because God in Christ forgave you. And He frequently forgives you. Imagine if you, in your week, you sinned. Now, examples abound here recently. Say you were nasty towards your neighbor about the election, slandering, hurting his reputation, breaking the fifth and the eighth commandments. Or you find yourself worried and anxious about the future because of who the president is now. Even though your hope of eternal life, your current life and identity and existence here and now is based solely in your heavenly king, not your earthly one. That's first commandment stuff. Or election aside, say your habitual sin is lust in your heart for someone the Lord has not given to you. Maybe your sin is like that unforgivable servant in the text who refuses to be changed by God's mercy, refusing to show mercy to those indebted to you. So this is how our week goes. But we realize our sin. We repent of it. We want forgiveness. We want to change. But what if you fall again? What then? Repent and be forgiven. Okay, but what about next time for the exact same sin? Repent and be forgiven. As often as you repent, the Lord forgives. Not only is God generous in the amount of forgiveness He freely gives, there's also no sin too great for our Lord to forgive. And so Jesus teaches us in the parable of the unforgiving servant. The generous master forgives the servant of his unpayable amount of debt, 10,000 talents worth. This ranges into the billions of dollars in today's money. There's no way this servant can repay. And that's how we are in our sin. There's no amount of things we can say, do, or correct in our lives to pay back to God the kind of debt we find ourselves in. Our sins have put us in a situation where there is nothing we can do to repay it. Our sins rightfully send us to hell. That's how serious our sins are, the big ones and the little ones. Even if we work 24 hours a day for the rest of our lives, there's no amount of money in the world or doing good things in love towards God and neighbor to make up this tremendous amount of debt that we're in because of our sin. Yet the proud and the arrogant pay no attention to their sin. Or at least they shrug off their sin as little sins and kind of laugh it away, saying, well, everyone's a sinner. Even those who know and receive the gospel continue their lives as if their sin isn't a problem, that it doesn't have a consequence. But sin is a problem. It does have real consequences. The unforgiving servant learned that the hard way. When he was forgiven of such a great a debt, he continued in his sinful ways. He held his neighbor's debt against him, which was actually somewhat substantial. Some say that it was as much as $10,000 in today's money. But that's uncomparable to billions. Regardless, he didn't forgive as his master forgave him. So the unforgiving servant was placed back into jail. He was even chastised by his master. "You wicked servant! I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" The servant wouldn't forgive 100 denarii after being forgiven 10,000 talents. Now, 100 denarii is a good sum, say 100 grand. But compared to billions, the point isn't that you should only forgive minor offenses that happen against you, but even quite substantial ones. Offenses that will leave you scarred, emotionally, physically, or financially, for the rest of your life. God wants you to forgive those offenses too. Not just the little things, like someone said a mean thing about you once. But God wants you to forgive those who've cheated you out of inheritance money or a job. He wants you to forgive those who've done the unthinkable to you. He wants you to forgive even if someone were to murder your loved ones. About a year ago now, there was a touching story of this happening. In Dallas, Texas, Amber Geiger was sentenced to jail for 10 years for killing Botham Jean. Brant Jean, Botham's brother, while in court, asked if he could hug his brother's murderer, Amber. It was allowed, and Brant said to her, "I forgive you." That's what reconciliation and forgiveness looks like. Forgiving someone who has done the unthinkable to you, regardless of what it is. Because you've been forgiven a greater debt. Our sin has collected over the years in all our lives. It's collected quite a tab by now. And this debt we could never repay. Our debt deserves a prison sentence that only could be served by eternal damnation. And all the grave and habitual sins we've committed against God and neighbor deserve punishment. Thanks be to God for His mercy being like that of the master from the story. That even the most egregious debts are forgiven, all because our sin was removed from our sinful flesh and put upon the flesh of His only begotten Son, Jesus. He died on the cross and took our sins to the grave, where our sin pays its punishment for all eternity. But for those who have life in Jesus, sin doesn't drag them down to hell too. Our sin is removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and there's no more debt to pay. No more guilt, no more sin. All that remains is treating others with the same forgiveness we've been given. Forgiving our neighbors from our hearts. Because the forgiveness we've received has transformed us. We forgive others their sins, no matter how great or small the sin. Now, does that mean that we should just go around and forgive people as soon as they sin against you? Well, no, because that just confirms them in their sin. that doesn't invite repentance and a change in behavior. Kindness and forgiveness work together with repentance, not separate from it. St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" So confront the person who sins against you in love, according to Matthew 18, verse 5. When he repents, forgive him unconditionally. But if he doesn't repent, then bear his sin. Forgive him in your heart, but bear his sin. Even as Christ patiently bears the sin of the world, waiting for their repentance. Offer forgiveness, not only for the big sins, but the habitual ones. Because our Lord deals mercifully with you. Peter wanted limits on forgiveness. Because it's hard. Our sinful flesh doesn't want to forgive. It's prideful. But limiting forgiveness makes you like the unforgiving servant. Seek forgiveness not only for your sins, but for those who sinned against you. Forgive. Be reconciled. Because it's what our Lord does with you here each Sunday. Live in these gospel promises and take His mercy with you wherever you go. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.